Well, good morning. Time to jump in the river today, in the river of His grace and mercy, goodness and kindness. Praise be unto God. What a day. What a day it is to serve our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is the day that the Lord has made, and this is the day that we will rejoice and be glad in it. Praise be unto God. I can't wait to see what today holds for the glory of God to come and for the Lord to show Himself strong in our lives as He always does. He is good, merciful, and great in all of His ways. And we're praying for you today. If anything, we can pray and connect in faith with you and believe and stand in faith with you. Please don't hesitate to reach out to the station, 270-230-6337. Would love to connect and pray and stand in faith for your breakthrough. In Jesus' mighty name, He is able. Brother Greg, how are you doing on this Thursday morning?
I'm doing just fine, Brother Aaron.
Amen. Looks like you've been mudding.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a little muddy. Not on purpose, just a lot of driveways ain't got gravel.
Yeah, I'm just kidding. Yeah. I know. I saw you out in that field the other day doing donuts and taking some ramps. I saw it.
Yeah, don't tell the farmer.
Don't tell the farmer. Just the problem was it was on accident, right? You didn't mean to be out there.
No.
But no, it is a good day. Thanks always coming on with us on Thursdays. Miss Renee's not going to be with us today. She texted me yesterday not to be able to come back today, but Lord willing, we'll get her back on soon with us. And so excited for our streak that we have alive.
Still going, huh?
We're still going.
All right.
How about that? We're still going. We are going on 1 week, and this will be 1 week and 4 days.
Oh, wow. That's pretty good.
So we need to get both answers for the rest of this week, and we'll have 2 weeks straight of all the answers, all the questions answered. So you hang in there, 7:30. You're going to have an opportunity to help us continue our streak. I want us to see go like 6 weeks. I want to see how far we can take this thing. I don't know what the record is in these morning broadcasts, but we're going to beat it.
There you go.
I don't know what it is. So if you don't know what it is, can we already declare that we won?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah, we got it.
Yeah, I feel like we could just stop right now and say we won because there's no definite answer of how many, like, we've actually. But it is.
How many? 6 weeks?
I don't know. That's my goal. I don't know.
What are we up to right now?
Oh, just 2 weeks.
Oh,
We're working on 2 weeks right now. The goal is 6 weeks.
For every answer. Yeah, I got you.
Right now, we're going to be pushing 2 weeks after this. After today, we're going to push towards that six-week mark. And we're going to do this. Actually, let's just do this. We'll make this an even thing. This will be easy to attain. Let's get every trivia answer until Spring Charathon.
There you go.
How about that?
That'll work.
Let's be 100% attendance until the Charathon. Then we'll continue afterwards. But until the Charathon, let's see how if we can get every answer from here until Charathon. So that's December. That's not December. March 25th, 26th, and 27th. And I just love to say Spring Charathon because I get to use the word spring. Now, we know how fond Greg is of chili. So he loves the word chili. Even if it's chili outside, chili in his bow, chili in his car, whatever it is, he loves chili, right?
No, wrong.
You don't have none of that chili, right?
I don't want to go to chili. I don't want to be chili. I don't want
to
eat chili.
You don't want to go to the country chili?
I don't want nothing to do with chili at all.
You don't even want the weather to be chilly, right?
No,
you are not a cold guy. No. You like the warm. You
like
the summer.
About chili.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, did you bring any announcements for us today, Greg?
I just want to. We had a guest preacher last night, Ethan Woosley, come up there and preach for us last night. And man, he done a good job. I mean, he laid it down there. And he started, he was wide open all the way through to the end. I thought he was going to pass out at one time, but man, he was just preaching. I can't thank him enough. You know, he's just, the truth was heard. And,
amen.
And, chains and stuff being broken and things. And it was just a good service, a really good service.
Truth will prevail. Truth sets the captive free.
Yep.
Amen. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. And how are we set free? By the truth. The truth sets us
amen.
Free. Amen. Good Good. Praise be unto God for that. We're praying for our 91.1 Highsville Glasgow listeners this morning, 91.5 Litchfield listeners and Hardinsburg listeners, and 98.3 Owensboro, Kentucky listeners. I love to hear some testimonies back from anybody that went to, I think Jonathan Kahn was there at his church last night. So if anybody went there, I'd love to hear the testimonies of the Lord for that. I'm sure the Spirit of the Lord was there. Congratulations to Grayson County last night that got the victory over Muhlenberg County. I think they beat them by like 30 points, I think it was. They'll advance on to the next round of the regional tournament where I believe they play Davis County Saturday. Davis County beat Brett County yesterday. And so they'll play Davis County Saturday at the world famous Sports Center. So congratulations to both of those teams. We're moving on for your Owensboro crowd. I got you. And for the Grayson County crowd, I got you. And that'll be a great game coming Saturday. So hang in there for that. And if you're going out there, join it, enjoy it. Me and Ethan's talking about going out there, I do believe, and watching that. It's going to be a great game. Both of them have been ranked really high in the state throughout the year. And I think Davis County actually is ranked number one in the state for a period. So both of those are great teams. So that'll be a great game come Saturday morning there. I mean, not Saturday morning, Saturday evening there at the Sports Center there in Owensboro. Also, we've got a couple of other announcements. Let's see here. Don't forget Share-a-thon 25th, 26th, and 27th right around the corner. Women's conference coming up there next weekend at Clarkson. Clarkson Baptist. I always want to say Hardinsburg Baptist, but it's Clarkson Baptist. All right, just make sure I get that right. Anointed and appointed ladies meeting there is March the 9th at Kingdom First in Caneyville, Kentucky, along with the revival starting March 18th. So make sure you are making plans to go to that. It's going to be a spirit-filled, powerful time. The gospel will be preached, I am sure of. As Greg said, the truth last night was preached. I'm sure the truth will be preached from all the messenger that will be preached during that during the revival. And so really looking forward to, I know my wife loved the last anointed and appointed ladies meeting, and they're geared up for that one again. So that's, again, March the 9th there at Kingdom First. I think they're doing some worship and food and then like vision boards. They're going to do like a craft or something together as ladies. I do believe, I don't know if there's a teaching or not, but I do believe that there is that craft that, if I'm not mistaken, Heather sent me yesterday to make sure I get that announced. Let's see here. We will have food, fellowship, testimony, and make vision boards. Greg, you want to make a vision board? What would your vision board be?
Jesus. That's my vision. I want to be like him when I grow up.
Yeah. When we grow up.
Yeah.
One of these days.
Yeah. When I grow up, I want to be like him.
Yeah. You remember that? You remember that one song that came out, One of These Days? You remember
that?
Yeah.
I don't remember. I'm going to hold the hands and yes. Take the nails from me. Yeah.
Yeah. Whenever I hear the phrase One of These Days, that always pops in my head.
Yep. That's a good song.
Yeah.
That's an old song, too.
It is an older song.
I forgot about that.
I love a lot of old songs,
I do
though.
Too. Me too.
I love a lot of old Casting Crown songs were so good.
Yeah.
What if His People Prayed? Remember that one?
Yep.
That was a good one. And then Third Day, they had some great songs as well. And then I always loved a band that some people know, some people don't. I always loved the band Cutlass.
Oh, yeah.
I loved Cutlass.
Hey, Cutlass, man, of course, they're a little bit harder metal kind of deal, you know, for most people. But their songs was basically scripture. Like, they was singing, you know, like, take the coal and touch my lips. And they're, you know, yeah. I mean, just, they was very scripturally.
Their CD, was it Strong Tower?
Yeah, Strong
Tower.
That's
my favorite.
Yeah.
I mean, it was so good.
Yeah, it was good.
It was like their worship CDs. Now, I hear some of their other stuff is a little bit harder.
Yeah.
But it's all Christian. It's all scripture.
Yeah, but they'll rock out. And that's my kind of music. So,
I could tell that. Yeah. Is that what you listen to, Mudden?
No.
Just kidding.
I actually like all kinds of music, but I like that style as well. And and to hear it done the right way, you know, it was good.
I think their CD, Strong Tower, I would say is probably top two CDs of my life favorites. Like, that was just one of my Their Song Strong Tower was so good. Holy of Holies. Tower. Yeah, I just love that whole CD.
Take Me Into the Holy of Holies. Man. Yeah. See, that's what I'm saying. That's what I was just saying about Take the Coal and Touch My Lips. Yeah.
Yeah, that whole CD, it is probably. Yep.
And it's Cutlass. It's spelled with a K.
Yeah, K-U-T-L-E-S.
Yeah.
E-L-E-S-S.
Yeah, if anybody's out there want to hear that stuff.
But it's an older CD.
Yeah.
But I remember 18, 19, 20 years old, that was just, that CD played in my car all the time for a year or so. It was just, that CD was, that CD, we're talking about CDs, so that tells you how old we are right now.
Tell me about it.
I took the 8-track out, and.
I never did mess with the 8-track. I know what they are, you know, but I ain't that old. But that's one thing I look back on was the music for me. You know, whenever it was 2005, I guess. So K-Love wasn't on, and you couldn't really get was it 88.5, and I didn't know about Box 2 radio. Well, it probably wasn't Box 2 at that time, but BFI, but all you really had was the one over at Upton, and the old hymnals and stuff. Well, where I come from, none of that, you know what I'm saying, I couldn't relate, you know. Now, I grew into those, and I love them now, you know, but for the longest time, I struggled with music. That was one thing early, you know, as I was learning of the Lord and you know, just kind of growing and stuff. It took a long time, and I was still listening to, 94.3 The Wolf, and I was still listening to things, you know. And now certain songs, the gospel songs and stuff I like, and I'd really listen to them over and over again. But then the other ones, I guess I just didn't understand. You know, I was so young in my walk, and I still had so much to be gotten out of me, you know, in the music. And that was one of the things. And I tell you, the funny thing is, it was whenever Curtis, when we was working together, and I was listening, I said, "Won't you stop listening to devil music?" He was just joking, you know what I'm saying? But just that one little wisecrack right there made me think, and it opened my eyes, like, wait a minute, because these things that I'm listening to is putting thoughts in my head that I don't need to be there, putting unnecessary pressure on me, because music is very, very powerful for either, and that can go either way. You know what I'm saying? The music we listen to, and they, it sets our tone, it sets our mood, and all the things. So, now it's just all praising to the Lord. That's all I want in my ears.
Miss Elizabeth said, "Be easy on us 8-track people." I ran across some cassettes the other day. I remember.
I know cassettes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, my kids and them, they don't understand all this. Like, you know, it's like, if you remember those little recorders we used to have?
You had to wait for your favorite song to record it. And then that way you could record it, and then you could listen to it all the time. That way you didn't have to wait on the radio all
like
day.
Those little answer machine little cassettes.
Oh, yeah,
and
the
stuff.
Little
like,
ones, yeah.
You know, they think those are like antiques or something like that. And I'm like, well, I'm an antique.
I think they are.
Hey, easy. Easy. I was looking at something last night, and it was like, it felt so, for me, it was a turning point in my life last night. There was, because I had to put in there, how do you do this for a guy that's almost 40?
Hey, I'm going to say that those cassette tapes are a relic. You know,
easy, Greg. Easy.
That's something when you go to the antique store.
They're not in the museum yet.
And you go to the antique store and you see those in there, you know. They didn't used to be in the antique store. So, you know, antiques and
Greg,
relics, you know.
Easy. Yeah. All right, I felt my age last night when I had to put in
you?
There. Huh?
You're what?
I'm 39. I just turned 39.
Well, you're still just a baby.
I know, but it's just it was the first time in my life, like,
here
had to put in there for a 40-year-old
like
man. It's like, oh, there it goes. All right.
Yeah.
Like, life is over. Woe is me.
Well, I'm acting like I'm old or something. I mean, I'm just 45, so I'm just teasing. Good morning, Hannah.
Yeah, they were the mini cassettes, though.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we talk so often. What would our kids done? if they had a rotary phone or a phone with a cable.
Same thing we did, sit there and dial it.
And not everybody could be on the phone at the same time. Like, our kids wouldn't even know what to do with that.
No.
And, like, we thought the pinnacle of entertainment and fun was we had a Game Boy, and we had that little bag of, like, you know, like 7 or 8 different games that we took everywhere with us. We thought we were really great.
Yeah.
And nowadays you can have like a million games at the tip of your phones, and they wouldn't even know what to do with how we grew up. I really don't think
they would. Hey, not Ezra. He's fine with just a book.
Yeah.
And a spoon.
That's what I'm talking about. Keep it that way. Don't introduce him to all that other stuff.
I'm trying to. I'm like, it's hard when all the other kids are around and has it. But right now, he's fine with that. But y'all remember, are you talking about the bags that have like the little, what are they called? Something jacks. Like they.
Oh, no. What he's talking about is Game Boy bags. But I know what you're talking about. Jacks.
Game Boy.
Had the ball.
Jacks and the balls and the.
We're not that. She really just called us old, didn't he? That's like
I played with them, so I had some, so I know what you done. Now you bounce the ball and see how many you can swipe.
We didn't do jacks. What we did?
No, I heard. I know you're talking about.
No,
Game
I know
Boys,
you just but... called us really old. Okay, what we did was the 3-quarter games. You remember that where you had to like put 2 quarters, 1 quarter, and you had to keep hitting the quarter through the other quarters.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, we did that one a lot, and we did the one of the paper football where we made a paper football and played.
Kick field goals.
But we didn't do jacks a lot.
That's funny. Somebody's asking me if I had a DS. I did have a DS. I had two different. When DS first came out, I got like one of the first ones, and then I got a DSi. You remember the DSIs?
See,
the DSi had a camera on it.
See,
you could take pictures.
When I was a kid, we didn't have any of that, and we had lawn darts. So we would have these big metal darts that you throw up into the air and just let them fall into the yard.
That sounds dangerous.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we didn't wear seatbelts either, so there's that.
I'm sorry I offended you all. An older person than you all said, jacks are really old.
Yeah. Thanks, Hannah.
I mean, I played them. You probably didn't play them, did you?
Yeah, you're old, remember?
Yeah.
You called me a baby.
Yeah.
All right. One listener said we had a party line. 4 homes were on it.
Yep.
I'd hear all kind of good conversations.
Oh,
another one brought up cassettes and Walkman radios, the little ones that come on your side. But then the CDs come out.
Yeah.
But you couldn't like
had a Discman.
But you had to have one that had like the skip protection. You remember that? Because if you didn't, you just walk around.
You moved around it with skip.
And then your CDs scratched.
Yeah.
Do you all know what I'm talking about? Like, no one ever knows what
we
I'm talking
We know
about.
What jacks are.
No, not those. Not those. It's like a little, it looks like a, what is it? Like a Game Boy, kind of.
Yeah.
But it was a DVD player, and it had these mini DVDs.
Oh, yeah.
And you could watch movies and shows and stuff.
MPs.
But it's like specially made. The DVDs had to be little, tiny, to
fit
in them.
Blu-ray. It was a Blu-ray. It was a little disc. Is that right?
And you could carry this little player around.
It was just a mini DVD player.
Okay.
But you had to buy it was little bitty packages of these little DVDs. Only that could fit in it.
Yeah.
I had one of those. But nobody ever knows what I'm talking about.
One listener said she did jacks, marbles, and rode a stick horse.
Hey, my kids rode a stick horse for years. Like, we just got rid of them things. Like, they wore them stick horses.
Oh, I loved a stick horse.
Yeah. They would race around the house. And
I guess those have been around for a long time.
I guess everybody's reminiscing. We got as much interaction this morning we've ever had. Everybody's now we're talking about my generation here.
Yeah.
And we would actually play outside. Like, we would use actual sticks outside to be, like, to pretend we were in war.
Yep.
My kids never dug books a whole lot. Like, they would look at them, but I feel like I've read more books to Ezra in the last, like, 2 weeks.
Than all your children.
Than all my other children. He just brings me books, and I just sit there, and we just read. And he'll bring me book all the way across the station sometimes and just come to my office and just hand it to me, like, hey, here you go.
I thought that he just did that with books, but then last night it seemed that he would bring his food and put his food in somebody's hand for them to put the food in his mouth. So he wanted somebody to feed him. So he put it in your hand and you feed him. So he's figuring stuff out.
Oh, yeah. They learn quick.
One listener sent me a portable CD player and said they thought they were really cool with their burnt CDs from a website that shall not be named.
Yeah.
And those are the ones like people walk around with their headphones plugged into it. Yeah.
Yeah. There, she's like, oh yeah, those O things, you know, that y'all used to listen to. While also, you played your jacks.
No, I remember that.
So you could take your Discman, and you had a cassette tape with a wire out of it. And you would put it in your cassette player in your truck to where you could listen to CDs before while you didn't have a CD player in your truck.
Yep. So, yeah, because the cassette had the wire off of it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah, that was – yeah. Could you imagine us even trying to fathom, like, Apple CarPlay and all that stuff now? Yeah. And, like, Google's got its own play, and, like, we can pull up any song we want on our streaming device anywhere we want and get on the website. And
my vehicle didn't have air conditioning. My first vehicle had air conditioning. I was 20 – I guess I was 24, 25, somewhere around there. Right around the time I got saved, I had my first vehicle with air conditioning. So I always drove old square bodies all the time. They was junk then. They was, you know, you could buy them for nothing back mm-hmm. then days.
Well, I guess that's enough reminiscing of the good old days.
All right. No, these are the good old days. Those was okay. Well, these days that we're in now, these are the days.
Well, you've done told me that half of my life is in a museum now. Hannah said, asked me if I kept playing with jacks. I mean, like,
it's good to look back where we're
here. I am
from,
last night thinking about 40. Y'all are making me feel really rough this morning.
Oh, that's good. All right, you're just getting closer to the Lord. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah.
Well, that's
we're getting younger. You know what I'm saying? That's what it is.
I saw this. Funny picture thing, and it's somebody driving really bad, like they're like whipping a turn really hard, and they're like, I take pride in the fact that every time that I'm the driver, I'm bringing people closer to Jesus, and they're like smiling and with their thumbs up.
See, I was
just swerving at people.
Ethan is trying to get me to play golf with him again, like to get back on the course. And so this morning I wake up and I'm just, like, getting ready, and I was like, you know what? I'll swing with my arms only. I'll just, you know, like, you know, I don't know, Greg, have you ever done it? You played golf before, but just swing without a golf club just to – and I sit there and go, oh, that muscle. Oh, that don't turn like that no more.
I'm having an issue with my right shoulder. I don't know.
Yeah, just – well, I feel like I have an issue with, like, everything. And so,
gotcha. Let's get into the word.
Acts 17. You're talking about getting closer to Jesus. Yeah, my body feels
we
it.
We just need some oil of the Holy Spirit.
There we go.
Loosen it up.
Yeah.
Acts WD Holy Spirit. All right. Acts 17, I think, is where we find ourselves, right? Because they encouraged. All right. So when they had passed through Amphipolis or whatever, Apollonia, and they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul went in, as was his custom. And on three Sabbath days, he reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and providing that it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead, and saying, this Jesus whom I proclaimed to you is the Christ. So this is Paul going in there to preach. Like, this is him preaching the gospel. First and foremost, I would love to hear Jesus's like Sermon on the Mount and him, whenever he taught the Sermon on the Mount, I would love to heard that. And then the sermon I wish we had from Christ was like the book of the 40 days after he was resurrected and taught the disciples the kingdom of God. What kind of teaching would have happened in those 40 days? Like, that would have been, I couldn't even imagine. But then after that would be Paul, hearing Paul teach. Like, just getting to hear Paul preach. I would try not to fall asleep and fall out the window. But it would have been pretty incredible. And here he's going into the synagogue on the Sabbath and preaching. He's explaining to them why it was necessary for Christ to die. Basically, what to a Jew, they would have understood the atonement. They would have understood him being the atoning lamb. He would have understood. They would have understood in depth all these things. And he was explaining to them the necessity of Christ dying, and he was explaining to them the necessity of Christ rising from the dead. Like, why did this have to happen, and what did it do in your life? Could you imagine hearing Paul expound that to him by way of the Holy Spirit to these people? Been profoundly in. Revelatory for sure. And he's just celebrating Christ. He's declaring Christ. I would say that somebody like Paul, who could unpack the whole law without even thinking about it because it was so ingrained and he was so knowledgeable on it, and taking all that knowledge that he had given, I mean, he had, but put it towards the kingdom and allow the Holy Spirit to use that
to show and revelate who Christ really is and the fullness of who he is and the fullness of his atonement, I could only imagine the depth and the revelation Paul preached with. And he said some of them were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a great many of the devout Greeks and not a few of the leading women. So basically saying a few of the Jewish men did, but the ones that did it the best, I mean the most, was the Greeks and the women, the leading women, like the women that were leading. And there was women that had an influence and probably over the community and stuff like that.
Just kind of going back, these are the women that was at the river, right?
No, I don't think they. I don't think they were because they're in a different city now. They're in Thessalonica. Okay, okay. That was Philippi.
That was last week.
It's in a museum at this point. all right, but I think these are just. But I think these women are probably similar to that of Lydia. Lydia was like a leading woman. That group of women were probably leading in that area, and I think that's most likely who these women were that was coming to him.
But you know, if you think about it in today's society. And not so much more now, but just say 5 years ago, the women pretty much was the ones that was in church the most. It wasn't up until recently now that we have a surge in men coming to Christ, you know. And there's nothing new under the sun. What's happened has happened before will happen again, you know. And And this right here, I believe, is similar. And you know, you was talking about wanting to hear Paul, you know, which would be, I mean, it'd be awesome because we read about him, you know. But how many times, though, when we think about it, this what's the brother's name that comes in that preached, he preached a prison ministry. He was a drug trafficker, and I can't remember his name, Lance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the difference, you know, we're... That it's a similar thing, you know, so we have that now, you know what I mean? But it's still, so we have the people here that, who preach Jesus and have been on the other side and can really get through it and speak very well. You know, the Spirit really moves in them and uses them. I'm like you. Like, I'd like to sit down and talk to all these guys when I get up there one of these days, but we have that now in these testimonies that were men was in women have been so deep and whatever, you know, that there was no way out, and then the Lord, you know, pulled them out of that. So we have that today. It's just like the guy, I wish I could remember his name. It's Jeremy. I can't remember what his last name
is. McManaway?
Is it what is it?
Exodus House.
Yeah. So, like, his testimony, you know, is just so powerful. You know, how he can go from so in the world and now just such a love for the Lord, you know, and just such a zeal and a love, and it's a commitment now to the Lord, you know. And, you know, all these things, you know, it's today. You know, we have that today. So... Yeah, I was just thinking about that when you was talking about Paul, because I'm the same way, too. I always think, man, I want to go talk to Peter. He's a hothead.
Mm-mm.
I can relate to him. I want to see what he's got to say about things, mm-hmm. how it worked out. But, yeah.
I think the cool thing with them, though, is, like, for the sake of the gospel, how much they went through. Because we know that people in other countries are going through a lot, but we don't see that here as much.
Yeah.
You know, as far as, like, doing ministry, because we have such a protection. But to see, like, everything that they endured as they were preaching the gospel, and that's what is so cool about the book of Acts.
Yeah, I mean,
and
their
life angels delivering them out, you know.
Yeah. Their life just, like, depended on, you know, just trusting in the Lord, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's going to be about the time we have for that. We just got a couple verses, but
what verse are we on now?
We're going to start in 4 tomorrow, because I want to reread that just to give us context. So we'll start in 4, but I want to unpack what's really happening in the Jews tomorrow. That's what I really want to do, because the Jews were facing jealousy. They were facing a lot of different things. We're going to show tomorrow we're going to talk a little bit more in depth about their journey they're going to take and the whole unpacking they're having to do as well. Like, you got to realize just how
they got to unlearn everything.
It's a lot for the Jews, and a lot of them couldn't handle it. Like, they just couldn't do it. And so I would love to, this next little section's really good, and to talk about that. And so tomorrow we'll start with verse 4. Right now we're going to do our trivia, and we're going to take a break. And our goal for everybody out there, our goal, remember, we're going to get every trivia answer answered from now to Spring Charathon, which is 25th, 26th, 27th. We're going to do this.
Let's do it.
What was the piece of property called that was bought with Jesus's? I'm sorry. Redo. What was the piece of property called that was bought with Judas's betrayal money? What was the piece of property called that was bought with Judas's betrayal money? 270-257-2689. We will be right back here after the break on Mornings of Vox 2 Radio. All right, we are back. I tell you what, your listeners, you guys, the listening family, y'all showed up big there. They're helping me. They're ready too. I had like 4 or 5 calls right there.
Wow.
So now the first call, though, that got it was Pastor Dwayne Kitt. So, and it was Field of Blood, Matthew 27, verse 8. How about that? I love that. Like, we're ready to go. Like, 8 o'clock, next trivia. All the way through the Spring Charathon, we're going to get every answer. Every answer.
And after the Spring Charathon.
And then we'll keep going. I told Greg, I don't know what the record is.
But we're going to set it.
Yeah. Whatever we do right now, it's going to set the new world record for the morning broadcast trivia consistency. Yeah. 100% attendance.
Don't know about the world record, but the Box 2 record anyway.
Well, in our world.
Yeah, the Box 2 world record.
Yeah, in our world, it's going to be a record.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
So, Brother Robbie said that Jonathan, did you announce it? I think you did. Jonathan Kahn was at that one church in Owensboro. He said it went well. He said he has a testimony, but he hasn't sent it. So I don't know if he wants us to. He said it's a funny one. So.
Praise the Lord. I was trying to answer all the calls. If I missed your call out there, I'm sorry. I was trying to answer these calls and probably busy for some people. And so I love that.
Do we got a guest today?
Ms. No, Hannah? No, not right. today.
Well, we've got this is the time we usually try to carve out for Kingdom Corner. A lot of times sometimes we miss it. Sometimes we nail it. So you got a Kingdom Corner for us this morning?
I do. I have a little bit of something. I'm sorry. I was still laughing at some of these texts from the first conversation.
Because you said we played with Jacks.
No, like, no, because
this is like Little House on the Prairie time. Like,
no,
they played with
the
Jacks.
Thing that somebody sent me, they said we put aluminum cans on our shoes and it sounded like horses.
I remember doing it. Oh, man.
You remember
and neighborhood so jump like rope. Did you have neighborhood jump rope?
Oh, we had neighborhood everything.
So, like, when you would step on a can when it was flat, and because their feet were smaller, then you'd step in the middle and it would grab your, it would, like, fold up around and it'd stay on your shoes. And you'd sit there and clink clang around and get on everybody's nerves.
Yeah, that or you put a baseball card on your back wheel of your bike. Looking back. I can understand why we annoyed everybody.
we just want to make noise. Yeah.
All right, let me flip over here.
Save us here.
I'm sorry. That was just, I was still laughing at that because that was just, I'd never heard about that before.
Yeah.
Let me flip over here. I'm in Proverbs chapter 18. It's taken me a while to get there. I'm just going to go to my phone. So, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 19. 18:19. Okay. A brother offended is more unyielding than a strong city. A brother offended is more unyielding than a strong city, and quarreling is like the bars of a castle. From the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach is satisfied. He is satisfied by the yield of his lips. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Mm. So, I kind of forgot that the famous death and life are in the power of the tongue was right next to this one, but the verse 20 is what really stuck out to me. From the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach is satisfied. He is satisfied by the yield of his lips. How often, this verse was sticking out, because how we do eat the fruit of what we speak. Yep. And how often when we speak something that we shouldn't have, we get like an unsatisfying, we feel like, oh, like it's almost like the feeling of your heart just dropped. Like yeah. Your heart can't really drop, but that's yeah. how we explain it, is your heart drops to your stomach, and that, and it, you're not satisfied. Like you, and that's why I think that it's talking here, like we should be satisfied. We should be pleased, and we should be able to stand before the Lord, because we know that the word says we will be justified by our words or condemned by our words. And so this was just sticking out to me because, there is power of life and death in the tongue. And yeah. we, a lot of times, are not that we have creative power like the Lord, but we have, I mean, the word is simple, that there is power in our words. And it sets the course of our actions. It sets the course of our life, of our ways of thinking. And I don't know, that just really stuck out to me, that we're always producing fruit. And not only are the other people eating from the fruit of our words, but we're actually eating from it. It tells us that we eat from our own words. And that's why I think it's so important, whenever we begin to declare the word of God out loud, because that's really been on my heart lately. It sometimes feels silly, like, Lord, why can't I just pray in my heart? Like, why can't I just pray in my mind? But even with the Raise a Hallelujah crew, we were talking about the power of being heard. Even when we read about Paul and Silas, they didn't worship within. They didn't they didn't stay silent and sing the praise, you know, a little whisper in their heart. They let it what was inside come out. They let the rivers of living water begin to flow. And I included a brother offended is more unyielding than a strong city, and quarreling is like the bars of a castle in there, because I think that's where it starts. Like the offense or the joy, whichever side, you know, the offense or the forgiveness, the grace that we have in us is how everything else, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what's in there is going to flow out of there. Yeah. So if that brother offended is holding on to that offense and doesn't repent, then they're going to be more unyielding than a strong city, because that's going to keep flowing out and causing destruction. They're going to be eating the fruit of destruction and division and discord. And that is, it's, you know, when people say, like, they're strong-willed, strong-willed child, strong, it's that rebellion. It's that going against the Lord. It's pride. It's refusing to submit our members to righteousness, like I talked about yesterday. So, I don't know. I just thought this Proverbs was really good. Proverbs 18, 19 through 21. We all know that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So we will, whether we love speaking death or we love speaking life, we're going to eat the fruit of that. And I don't know about you guys, but I want to start seeing the difference, the results from speaking life. Amen. You know, when you feel like speaking something, when you feel like just letting out something that you feel that, you know, isn't life, to just to have that self-control, that fruit of the Spirit of self-control, and watch things begin to shift in our life as we speak life, as we speak encouragement into other people, like edifying people with our words. You can see how it can change their whole day.
Yeah.
It can change the course. I believe our words not only can change the course of our day, our life, but it can change the course of somebody else's. It can pick them up and change their focus onto the Lord and put them onto the right path. So,
amen.
Amen.
Somebody said one time, said some are thermometers and others are thermostats.
Yes.
Yeah.
I like that.
So
too.
Be the thermostat. You know, set the temperature. Don't just read the temperature.
Yeah.
This goes into what we talked about last week about forgiving a brother, you know, and 7 times 70 and all this. And Read that part about the brother again, the offense.
Oh, verse 19. A brother offended is more unyielding than a strong city,
yeah.
and quarreling is like the bars of a castle.
Right. So this ties into what I was talking about with Luke 17. Can we go there now? We good? Okay, so...
He said he wanted us to dole it out or something, because I said I wasn't saying I knew that I disagreed or something, but I was seeing it a little bit.
Not
different.
Dull. I mean, it sounds like to the death or something like
yeah.
that. I was going to wear my referee shirt.
Oh no, yeah, referee. Oh,
yeah, no, don't pay no attention to him, man.
Well, I'm still in the medieval times talking about castles and.
Well, but so with that, there
playing jacks.
Yeah, exactly. So. You know, we are to forgive, you know, and it says it, but it's not without conditions. You know, it's not just an unconditional forgiving, and I think we misunderstand that. It's taught. It's like that we just got to forgive, you know. But what I was saying was, of course, you know, I didn't get it all together then, but in Luke chapter 17. And I'll start at verse 1. Then said unto his disciples, it is impossible, but offenses will come, but woe unto him though whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and he cast into the sea, than that he shall offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourself, if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespasses against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn unto thee, and say, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. So Luke, and just these four verses just sums up everything that they're talking about in Matthew 18, which we're going to go to. But he just, in these, like, you know, it's just a different perspective of the same conversation that went on. You know, Luke... He just basically, this was the most important thing he took from that speech, you know, from that teaching of Jesus. But it says, you know, take heed to yourself. If a brother trespass against you, it says rebuke him. If he repent, forgive him. So, and the thing about that is, if it's just unconditional, the person who's doing the trespassing is not being educated. He doesn't know that he's doing something wrong. You know, and what happens, the same as you spare the rod, you spoil the child, you know. So it says rebuke him. It doesn't say we hold a grudge. You know, we're not to hold a grudge. But when somebody's doing something, we just tell them about it, you know. And then Matthew's going to break it down. But when we get over there to Matthew 18, because Matthew really talks in depth and he goes through the whole thing. And then at the end, he says, how many times do we forgive? You know, but before you get to that, he explains a lot. But anyway, which way? So, like, if you know, it says to rebuke them. Doesn't say, you know, whatever. It just says rebuke them. Tell them, hey, you're doing something that's not good to me. I need you to not do that. You know, and if he repents, well, then you gain the brother. You know, but if he doesn't, then you know, well, Matthew will tell you what to do at this point. So, and then when we go to Matthew chapter 18, we're going to talk about the same thing, and I'm going to start in verse 6.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, were better to him to be that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come. But woe to that man by whom the offense come. And then now... he's going to go in here and he talks about wherefore if the hand and the foot offend, they cut it off, and if the eye offend, you know. And I'm going to skip down to let's go to 10. All right, take heed that the disciples are sorry. Take heed you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that heaven and their angels also behold the face of the Father which is in heaven. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. So this is talking about the reason why we rebuke the one who's trespassed against us, because if they don't know any better, they will continue down that way. You see what I'm saying?
I agree with that part.
All right.
For sure.
And then so we rebuke. All right. So, and then this is, he's talking about the Son of Man has come to save them that which was lost. So in that same vein there, you know, that's the reason why we tell them that, hey, you're doing something that's not, you
know. To keep them, like, whenever, similar to when Paul says, turn them over to Satan for a season, so for their soul.
Yeah, and, you know, and a rebuke can be, there's a broad, that's like a broad brushstroke.
Yeah, it's a broad spectrum.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, rebuke just means, you could just say, hey, dude, I don't like that. Would you not do that? Or say, hey, if you do that again, I'm not going to talk to you.
But it all has to be based on the Word of God.
Exactly.
You know, like, it has to be like, this is sinful and, you know, I care about your soul. Like, that's the whole reason for that. Yeah,
and that's what they're teaching right here. That's exactly, because this is the part about, you know, in verse 11, the Son of Man came to save that which was lost. How think it of a man have 100 sheep and lose, okay, this, let me go down and get straight to the point. All right, well, let's just go to 15. All right, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. That's rebuking him. That's telling, hey, you're doing this thing here, whatever that is. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained a brother. All right, but if he will not hear thee, then take two or three or more out of the mouth of two or three witnesses. Every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen and a publican. You see what I'm saying? So it's like you tell him his fault, you know, and if he won't receive you, you try to reason with him. You try to, you know, you bring other brothers in to try to reason with him. Hey, you're doing this thing. You know, we need you to see what you're doing. But he's completely, now that goes back to the Proverbs. What's it say about the Proverbs, what you just read about the bars?
Verse 19 was quarreling is like bars of a castle.
Yeah, but it was something specifically about the offense.
The offense of a brother was the first part.
Yeah, so this is, so whenever you're rebuking the brother who has done this thing to himself.
It's like the unyielding of a strong city.
And he becomes offended. That's the offended guy that they're talking about in Proverbs, is the one who has brought the offense and you're telling him about it. And he's offended that you're rebuking him. And he's building up the bars. You know, he's not going to, this is the take heed. And it says, let him be as a heathen and a publican. You know, if he refuses to do that, let him be. And then it goes on, it says, whatsoever we bound on heaven or on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever be loosed on earth be loosed in heaven. So like if we, that's the same thing. If we bind our, like this, just think of this as believe, you know, or reaping what you sow. That's bound on earth will be bound in heaven, and loosed on earth will be loosed in heaven. That's the same as reaping what you sow. If you sow into bad things, you'll reap bad things. You know, you bind, if you don't believe heavenly things down here, then they're going to be bound up there. They'll never come down. You know, same thing. And then we go on down here, and this. After Jesus teaches all this, that's when Peter says, then Peter, this is verse 21, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? And Jesus says, I say not unto thee seven times, but until seven times, or 70 times seven. And then he goes in, he talks about the kingdom is like unto a certain king who forgive the guy, you know, and then the guy was forgiven, but then he went, and that guy owed him some money, and the man that owed him some money come and repented, but he did not forgive. So it's on both sides. Jesus is talking about both sides of this forgiving, you know, getting forgiveness and repenting, giving forgiveness and asking for forgiveness. So he's clearing up both sides. So we talked about the ones who would not repent, and then afterwards, after he says the seven times 70, he goes and talks about the king, and he explains the ones who don't forgive when they do repent, what happens to them as well. So the ones who don't repent, you cast him as a heathen man and a publican. You just separate. And then the ones who won't forgive, you know, who the ones who come to you and they repent to you, but you don't forgive. Well, that's the man. This is the man who gets thrown into torment and all the mm-hmm. stuff that he talks about.
Yeah, I think I'm there with most of that, especially because you said you clarified that this is not an excuse to hold a grudge, because that's biggest thing that I want people. Because somebody texted in a question: we only forgive if repent? Question mark. And I think it's just defining what that means. So I do believe, though, that there's a difference in, so the forgiveness that it talks about, the word for forgiveness used so often mm-hmm. is what you're talking about with, it's almost like, so I looked up the word in the Greek here, and it's like kind of what, the forgiveness of omitting the offense or the offense as far as like the transgression, omitting the transgression. So so saying like you have repented, you've changed your ways, and now you are restored back to normal. Like we're gonna wipe the slate clean.
Yeah, fresh start.
But I do think that that's different than like if somebody, you know, hurts us or does something and we're withholding forgiveness from them in the sense of we're going to hold on to our offense towards them. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And so, and I think that's what Jesus is saying. Like, as far as like the action itself, if they don't repent for that and that is a sinful action that they've done, that's like saying that it's okay for somebody to continue in their sin.
But one thing Jesus says, though, we have to tell them.
Yes. You know, so we can't hold it against them if we don't.
Yeah,
tell
we have
them.
To tell them.
Yes.
You know, we have to say, hey, you have done this thing.
And that's a good point because we don't do that. I don't think we do that enough. We do hold offenses against each other without bringing the issue to light and bringing it to each other. But even if none of that happens, I do think that we should all follow, like what it's saying, we would have a lot more unity if we followed the pattern of taking the issue to one another.
Instead of let it fester.
Yes, but I, as far as forgiveness, like in Matthew as well, it says, and I think that this is different, like, but I would have to look in the Greek here in Matthew 6:14, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you, but if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses.
Yeah.
I know it does use the word trespasses there, so it's definitely still talking about what you're talking about as far as, like, they've sinned against you.
Yeah.
But I just feel like there's something different with when it's not necessarily a trespass. Like, if somebody hurt your feelings, for example.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, if somebody hurt your feelings, but you can't really prove that they sinned against you. Does that make sense? Like,
because
our feelings are, our heart is deceitfully wicked. Yeah, so say like we got offended over something that really, it can be worked out through communication.
Well, okay, let's use this because
I think that's what's throwing a little bit of people off, because somebody sent like, we only forgive if, like, for example, there's some people who will never see that what they said to you was rude or was wrong. They may never see, they may never feel bad about that.
Yeah.
But
that's, and see, that's, and again, that's, this right here says, it says to tell them, you know, to tell if they sin against you and you don't tell them, how are they going to know?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? And if they don't ever know, how would they, how,
you, I would hope that when you bring it to them.
Yeah.
But and also, then, I wonder, you know, so this says, for if you forgive others, and I do think this would be an interesting study to look into forgiveness of brothers and sisters in Christ versus unbelievers.
And I want to say this too. I never meant, we don't ever hold a grudge. We don't ever, you know, that's bitterness. You know, we don't ever harbor bitterness.
Because that would be
sin. Unforgiveness. Yes, we don't want to carry sin. But what I'm saying is, though, a lot of people, they'll forgive without condition, and the condition of the one who is bringing the offense never gets addressed, and they continue down that path. And that's what Jesus is teaching us right here. Rebuke them, tell them. And if they not hear you, you know, he says, tell them, and then keep trying to show them the right way. And then it says, and he says unto the, a heathen man or a publican. So that's, he's, you know, if he's not going to come to you, then he's the same as one who is not your brother. Because, yeah. You know, but.
And I do get that because I think that there is sometimes that we need to, like, yep. we should try, like the Bible says, to live peaceably with all men,
yes.
if possible.
Yep.
But when it's not possible, I think, is when we've done what the Bible says to do. Mm-hmm. We've done all that the Bible tells us to do, but the person still won't repent
right.
of their sin.
And, you know, and the thing is, we don't hold a grudge and we don't do things spitefully. You know, we just disseparate ourselves.
It's like
from,
breaking fellowship.
Yeah, just yeah. like a, but it's not like until death. It's just, you know, I mean, any time that they repent, you know, if it says right
that's
here,
where I feel like our definitions of forgiveness are a little bit
yeah.
different. Not just like me and
yeah.
you, but I think in our in
yes,
in
culture,
general,
yeah.
like there's so many because
yeah.
when I think of forgiveness, I think about holding on to the bitterness or letting it go
mm-hmm.
and not holding that against somebody.
Yeah,
showing grace to somebody,
yeah.
but at the same time, you don't want to show grace in the wrong way. Going against what the scripture teaches, like
yeah.
enabling somebody.
Well, let's
to sin.
Let's look at forgiveness with our Father, with Jesus. All right, does He forgive without repentance?
Hmm?
Oh, it's 8:00. Sorry,
heartbreak.
Well,
heartbreak.
Went fast, didn't it? Yeah.
All right, this
oh.
is our heartbreak, so we got to yeah. take it for the, and then we can continue the conversation. But
yeah.
Streak's still going to be alive. In the book of Isaiah, what city was known as Ariel? What in the book of Isaiah, what city was known as Ariel? A-R-I-E-L.
The city of Ariel.
Hint. City where David dwelt. 270-257-2689. We'll be right back here after the break. On
Box 2 Radio Network, WBFI 91.5 FM, McDaniels, Litchfield, Kentucky. WBFK 91.1 FM, Hinesville and Glasgow, Kentucky. WBFI 98.3 FM, Owensboro, Kentucky.
For almost 40 years, the Box 2 Radio Network has been your home for encouragement, uplifting music, and messages that remind us all of God's love and faithfulness. But here's the truth. We can only stay on the air because of listeners like you. When you pledge your support, you're helping us share hope across our region, keeping the light of Jesus shining through the radio waves. Every gift matters. Every voice counts. The Box 2 Radio Network Spring Share-a-thon is coming your way March 25th, 26th, and 27th at 7 a.m. Mark your calendars and join us. Connect on Facebook or visit box2radio.com.
This is John MacArthur welcoming you to Portraits of Grace. As a Christian, you are a storehouse of divine love. In addition, you have the privilege and responsibility of demonstrating God's love to others. That's a sacred trust. And that's why the Apostle Paul tells us that godly love must never operate in a vacuum or indiscriminately. It must always be governed by biblical knowledge and spiritual discernment. Unfortunately, today it's common for Christians to compromise doctrinal purity in the name of love and unity, or to brand as unloving some practices that Scripture clearly commands. But no matter how loving our actions might seem, if they violate Scripture, they aren't truly loving at all. So make sure you love biblically. This is John MacArthur, hoping you'll join me again for Portraits of Grace.
We would like to thank Higdon Land Surveying for being an underwriter and sponsor of Mornings with Fox 2 Radio. Through their partnership, we are able to continue to spread the gospel to the nations. Higdon Land Surveying services Grayson County and all surrounding counties. They are located at 1265 Nelson Road in Clarkson, Kentucky. Their text phone number is 270-230-6752. Their email is higdon216@gmail.com. Thank you again to Higdon Land Surveying for being an underwriter and sponsor of Mornings with Fox 2 Radio.
Betelgeuse and Rigel are the brightest stars in the constellation Orion. They are easily seen above and below the famous Belt and Sword. Betelgeuse, the ninth brightest star in the sky, is a red supergiant. As one of the largest known stars, Betelgeuse is truly a giant, 14 times more massive than our Sun and 800 times its diameter. Marking the heel of Orion, we find the blue-white star Rigel, 17 times more massive than our Sun and 50,000 times brighter. How far away are the stars of Orion? Traveling at the speed of our fastest spacecraft, some 40,000 miles per hour, it would take us over 10 million years to reach the bright stars of Orion. The book of Isaiah tells us that the Lord created the heavens and stretched them out. The vast universe gives us just a glimpse of His creative power. I'm David Reeves. Truly, the heavens declare the glory of God.
For more information, visit David Reeves Ministries at davidreeves.com. David, RIVES.com.
I can see the clouds rolling. I can feel the winds, they try to shake me. I will not be moved. My feet are on the rock. I can feel the waters rise.
Hallelujah, my feet are on the rock.
I want to hear what Pastor A has to say about this.
Say on which part?
The forgiveness.
I didn't hear the whole conversation towards the end there, especially because me and Mr. Tim was talking about something in here. But just recap what you were saying, and I will give you my view.
So I
make sure I'm talking about, because okay. I heard a little earlier part, but I didn't hear that last little bit.
Okay.
So... do you want to recap it?
I'll go. We talked about so much over the break, and the thing is, what we're trying to do. So, she was talking about forgiveness just in general, you know, for all, I should say, you know, and what Peter was talking about specifically was his brother. So this is what I was talking about in this conversation, was forgiving our brother. If our brother's trespass against us, we forgive him 70 times 70, or, you know, how. But it is with, it is, there is qualifications, you know, there's, and it's talk, and he lays them out here before he gets there, you know, rebuke him, like he talked about there. Because if he doesn't know that he sinned against you, if you don't tell him and he doesn't know, how can he, you know? But so you go to him, you tell him, hey, you've done this thing. And, you know, you'll tell your brother and sister to Christ for the love they have for one another. That's what we're talking about here in a break. And if your brother has sinned against you, he's gonna oh, I'm sorry. You know, he's going to repent. And if he repents, then you forgive him. And then if you, and it, then let me finish this. And then, so then it talks about if he doesn't, then you go two or more witnesses and then a church. And then if he still doesn't repent, excuse me, treat him as a heathen and a publican. So, but then we got, we went farther in the conversation about forgiveness, talking about just, and she mentioned Charlie Kirk and his wife saying she forgive, you know, and which my thing is, we never hold a grudge, period. You know, that's sinful in itself. And she was talking about forgiveness. Am I right? I don't want to speak for you. But,
yeah, like, yeah. Well, situations where, you know, somebody has sinned against you and you say, I forgive you. Like, yeah. There's people who have had horrific things happen to their family, and yeah. They openly, not just that situation, but,
yeah.
You know, people that somebody has murdered their child, or somebody even yeah. with an accident, you know, somebody hit somebody, and they say, I forgive. The temptation is to hold on to that.
Yeah.
Hold on to that, what's been done, but to say, I forgive you. So we kind of went back and forth with, like, the definitions of forgiveness, because yeah. what Greg's talking about is, like, actually omitting, like, I looked at that word and it was like omitting it as if it never happened.
Yeah.
And, like, that's what the Lord's forgiveness is of us whenever he yeah. washes our sin clean. Like, the slate is wiped clean. And, but it's just a hard topic, because we had a listener text in, like, so we only forgive if somebody repents?
Yeah.
Question
yeah.
mark.
Well, okay. So I did hear most of it. I heard more than I thought I did. All right. Yeah. So, I would see a little bit, like, I would see what you all are talking about, like, you bringing up the Matthew with the thing. I would see that as more a different type of forgiveness. Yeah. I would say that's talking more about church discipline, more about sinful
brothers.
Things.
It's between brothers.
Yeah. Like yeah. with the Lord also, like, yeah. you know. You're living in this outright sin. And then I think what Hannah's shifting more towards is, like, if somebody offends you or somebody upsets you, that we have to forgive. And Jesus commands us to forgive, or we won't be yeah. forgiven. And so I think that there are two different types of forgiveness.
That's myself. What I was kind of thinking yeah. too. Like,
yeah.
And when it goes, that's when you pray for your enemies and you pray for those that spitefully use you and all these things, you know, and that's what you do. But what brought this up was when Peter says, how often do I forgive my brother? The ones who know better, but they're doing it anyways. Yeah. These, you know, this is the one.
And I think for that, what yeah. kind of stuck out to me was, it's all for the sake of fellowship or not.
Yeah.
Like, how can two walk together yeah. if there's no unity?
Yeah.
So it's like for the sake of yeah. fellowship. In the yeah. kingdom.
Yeah.
That's what I felt like yeah. the point of that was.
Yeah. I feel like in those situations, like, where it's a personal thing where I have to forgive, the forgiveness is as much for you as it is them.
Yeah.
Because it will be a bleeding wound inside of you to hold unforgiveness, because then it builds hate, slandering,
yep.
it gossiping. Then you become very much a person that's living out of pain and unforgiveness yep. instead of out of love and grace. And I think there's two different trajectories that will set your life on. And I think what that is talking about Matthew, though, is about fellowship of the church, about being to be in fellowship, to be in right standing yep. with the church, I guess you could say. I hate to use the right standing terminology, but I think that's that we're not to fellowship in the church culture with those who are living in open, unrepentant sin. That's what yeah. Matthew would talk. And but we were calling them repentance. So we've got to call them to repentance. And I do think, as earlier y'all was talking about, if somebody has hurt you, one of the tactics of the enemy is you want to say, I want to keep this suppressed. I don't want to say anything.
Yeah.
But
yeah. You need to talk to
you
them.
Don't and
go tell them.
And I think you all use the word. I think the rebuke comes when open sin's in there. Yeah. I think we rebuke sin. But I think if, like, Hannah offended me, I think what I need to do instead of rebuking her is going up into her and say, hey, this happened. I want to reconcile this. I want to make this right.
And see, that's something, too, we talked about. The word rebuke is such a broad brushstroke. You know what I'm saying? It just sounds like it's, you know, like you're in their face. But just to mention it, that's a rebuke, you know, just to say, hey, you know, this took place, and this really made me uncomfortable, you know. And
I think that's where it's on, like, the lighter side of the transgression spectrum.
Yeah.
Like,
Like,
that's the rebuke. It's to tell them the error that they have committed. You know, it's just, hey, just make them known.
Bring it to light.
This upset me. Can we reconcile this? Yeah. Like, can we just get this out of the way? Because I don't want it to get to my heart.
Yeah.
Like, the other day I was talking to somebody and they were upset with somebody.
Yeah.
And I kind of encouraged them. I said, you need to forgive before what's in their heart gets in your heart.
Yeah.
Because that's how unforgiveness works. It attaches things. It opens up doors. And before you know it, you're letting this anger fester. And that's why
he's telling you to go talk to him first. You know, if he sins against you, rebuke and go talk to him. Tell him what's going on. See if y'all can. And it says if he'll hear you, you've gained a brother. You know, and if he doesn't, well, then take a friend, you know, to and say, hey, this and that, whatever, you know, this is what we think. And then try to, you know, just try to bring him around, you know. But that's, again, it's.
And I think we can probably think of times in our life where both of those have happened.
Yeah.
You know, there's been a reconciliation or there's been a breakaway.
Yeah.
And I think they're both necessary because we can't walk together in disunity.
And see, in Matthew, he talks about the trespasser, and he talks about the forgiver. He talks about the trespasser who doesn't repent, says we treat him as a heathen and a publican. And then on down in the 20s, you know, the 20s, 5, 6, 7, it talks about the one who has been forgiven, but then one comes to him seeking forgiveness, and he doesn't forgive. Then we see what happens to the person who does not forgive whenever his brother has come and repented. So he's clearing both sides here. He's talking to the ones who don't forgive and the ones who don't repent. You know, he's summing it all up here, and this is what he's describing here and how we should handle ourselves amongst our brothers.
Yeah.
You know, our brothers in Christ.
Somebody said, I try to forgive whether they realize they offended, hurt, or repented.
Yeah, and my thing is we don't ever want to hold a grudge because it's bitterness, and that's a sin in itself, you know, to harbor all these ill thoughts. And that's the worst thing to do, is sit there and think about stuff. It just
I think as a rule, like, it's good to just have a forgiving type mentality, like a forgiving heart. But I think the wisdom that we can get from this is not to enable anybody if there does need to be some sort of bringing things to light for the sake of, like what Greg was saying before the break, of keeping them from continuing in that sin or keeping them from hurting people. Like, if there's somebody that's like a common denominator that is like continuously causing trouble in your church, for example, hurting person after person. It's very noticeable that they are slandering, gossiping, whatever it is that they're doing to harm, not just one time, but like a repeated offense. There probably needs to be something done about that.
And even as innocent as cracking jokes, you know what I'm saying? Some people, they just like to crack jokes a lot, you know, and some jokes are offensive to some, you know, that they don't take them as well as others. You know, and that could be something, you know, just little stuff like that, you know, and Satan will use whatever he can use, you know, any kind of little crevice he can get in, he'll get in there and try to separate, you know. So
I've thought about that.
Yeah.
Because I do think we can be on both sides. Like we can be an offendable type person that we just get offended at anything. And I've been there. But like if you're sensitive, like you're just really sensitive. But at the same time, people sometimes will joke but put a little bit of truth in there to kind of like tear you down a little bit, but try to joke about it.
Yeah.
And I do think that comes back to like letting your speech be seasoned with salt and for the purpose of edification, because if our words, like was talking about in Kingdom Corner, if our words are tearing people down all the time and not building people up.
I was just about to go there.
Yeah.
The power of life and death is in the tongue. Yeah.
Then I think no matter how much we joke about it, like we got to think about what is the intention of our our words. So, yeah. Good stuff.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yeah, all right.
So we have any leftover questions from Jason?
Probably, but I have to take my referee shirt off. Well, I didn't get to use the whistle.
Let's just kind of go over. So this, as far as forgiving the others, you know, like the unbelievers or whatever that sin against us and things like that, that goes back to when Jesus, in those instances, we follow the teachings of Jesus, you know, how we pray for the ones, our enemies, and we pray for those that despitefully use us and all these things, you know. And I just want to make sure that I separate the two from what we're talking about versus those, because it is different.
Thing.
Yeah, because when we, like I said, when we was talking about this, we're talking about our brother. And that's, and I think, because if he's our brother and sister in Christ, well, we should be as Christ, you know, should be walking as Christ. And if one of us offended us, we should tell him, hey, this or that, you know, that we gain our brother. And you'll tell your brothers and sisters in Christ for the love they have for one another. And like, if I know that I have offended any, if somebody, I mean, it's going to hurt my feelings bad. I'm going to feel terrible. I don't want to offend nobody, you know, and I'm going to repent immediately, you know. But then on the other hand, you have some people who may not be that way, you know, and also maybe I said something that hurt somebody's feelings and they never told me about it. And then they've carried this thing now that they have this thing against me that I don't know about because I said something because I'm ignorant and I said some dumb thing and it hurt their feelings. And then here I'm walking around not knowing that I've hurt somebody. You see what I'm saying? So that's on them because they're carrying that.
I think it's easy to do that with your spouse.
Yeah, that's why that's why we have to tell. That's why Jesus is saying rebuke him. Tell him, get it off your chest. Don't carry that
stuff. It is kind of, it's really unfair. Like, it's kind of the worst feeling if somebody is acting upset with you and they have an offense but they've never told you what you don't know what you did. That is a hard because there's nothing you can do about it if you don't know about it.
So that's where I'm at on the forgiving your brother 70 times 7, you know, your brother. Now on the other ones, that's, you know, that's where the praying for your enemies and stuff comes in. So I hope that clears it up for everybody out there. Last thing I want to do is cloud it up, muddy up the water. So.
Well, you did offend me once because you said, well, I would agree with you, but then we'd both be wrong. Healing in my heart from that. But no, it was a clever saying. I liked it. I've used it.
I think I offended Aaron when I said something about, I still don't think I said eloquent.
Yeah.
I think you stole his brownie one time. I heard.
Oh, yeah.
That was a Swiss roll.
Hey, I repented immediately. I felt so guilty about that.
She come in. She had her face with ash on it, and she went down to, you know.
I felt so bad. I said, I'm so sorry.
She was weeping. It was a pretty embarrassing sight, really. But no, I'm just kidding.
Well, and you know, the thing about it is forgiveness is so hard, you know, and it's just so hard to forgive, you know.
Good Swiss roll. It was a special gift.
Yeah.
No, the sad thing is I don't even like them. Like, it was literally just straight temptation. It had to be the devil.
She gave in to Satan. I almost said,
Satan. Hungry. I was like fasting and. I don't know if I was fasting, but I mean, I was without food and I was so hungry and I was like, what? I don't know if I can leave. Like, I don't know when I'm supposed to leave here and I just need some food and I don't want to miss if somebody comes by and all I see is a Swiss roll. There's no other food in this place. So I ate it.
Yeah. I was like, who in the world did we just bring into the radio with us?
What have we done?
A thief. Yeah. Like, lock up the safe, lock it up. It was Sorry, Greg, go ahead.
Oh, no, I the whole thing about forgiveness is just so hard. You know, it's hard. And it's the Lord is the one who does it, within us and works it in. And it's hard, especially for one who is not a brother. That's the hardest ones, the ones who despitefully use you and the ones who, sin against you and the things.
I feel like it has to be a work of the Spirit, because who wants to let go of if somebody sins against you, who wants to let go of that?
And that's why it's so important.
In theirself.
That's why it's so important. Jesus says, go and learn of me, because he teaches us how to do this step by step, And when we find ourselves in this, he's got it written down for us to where we can go to it and find some encouraging words.
Mm-hmm.
And to help us get through these things, vengeance is mine, thus saith the Lord. My whole thing was, y'all heard this testimony about I used to carry guns all the time, and I just had to be the guy, and now he's the strong man of my house, and instead of me, it's him. And that was the hardest thing for me because, woe unto them who brings the offense. Well, I was ready. I bring that offense. Let's do this thing. That's where I was, and my heart wasn't right in that. Vengeance is mine, thus saith the Lord. And it's just, this word, we're so, we just need him so much in all aspects that it's so easy to overlook. It's so easy to read through here and overlook these things with all the stuff that we deal with daily. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Well, I guess we'll y'all want to take a break and then come back in here and do a couple questions, take a breather for a second, and then we'll do – Hannah, you got a song? Greg, you got a song? What's on your heart today? Maybe a listener's got one. I don't know if I can –
Great Are You, Lord?
Great Are You, Lord? I got that. We can do that. We can make that happen. But we're going to read this first trivia question again. Give me a second to find that one song.
Oh, we're not two for two yet.
No, we still have to get to the other trivia question, but I need to find that. I do have that song, so I'm going to find it for you, Greg. Yeah. What a great song. I do love that song. I just got to find it.
All the earth will shout his praise.
There we go. I got you. All right. Trivia. We've got to answer this. This is why I'm making sure we hit this break, because our streak has to be alive.
Let's do this.
In the book of Isaiah, what city was also known as Ariel? Hint, city where David dwelt. The city where David dwelt. 270-257-2689. We'll be right back here after Great Are You, Lord, by Casting Crowns.
Said you have to.
All right, we are back here on this beautiful morning, rainy and moving and things falling from the sky. Hallelujah.
Maybe that's why you
But
feel
the
that.
Good news is this. The good news is this. We have an answer.
All right. Who is it?
Brother Tom Mahoney's got that correct. So his name is in there twice for this period. In the book of Isaiah, what city was also known as Ariel? Hint, city where David dwelt? Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Jerusalem.
Okay, so we was talking about Jerusalem. All right, and this, I want to make sure that what I was saying is just not a bunch of malarkey I was telling her, because I feel like Jerusalem was a city that David had conquered, and it was just like a nowhere place, and he made it into Jerusalem is, and it's like a representation of us, how we was just lost and undone and worthless, and then God has made us great. Is that a similarity with Jerusalem? Am I thinking of that right? Is that the right city? Is that kind of like the correlation with Jerusalem? It was.
I don't know if David was the one that made it great, but I feel like
he's the one that conquered it, right?
Yeah.
And because it wasn't what it is.
Yeah, all cities had to be conquered at one time. Yeah. I guess you could say it like that. Yeah.
But it was just like a waste of a place until he conquered it and it made.
I'd have to go back and look at that for you.
Me too, because I was thinking, I haven't really thought about it, because I guess I just always thought that it was just where they already were dwelling. But
well, see, so it because the Lord dwells in the tabernacles of men, right? Well, the city of Jerusalem. You see what I'm saying? Where the Lord dwells.
Oh, there's a lot of significance in the Bible with Jerusalem.
Exactly. So that's
be interesting to look
back
that's at.
The correlation. And why? And I don't know why I was thinking before the break, I was thinking Bethlehem. I was way off.
Oh, if Sister Renee was here, she'd be having a heyday with this.
Yeah, she'd straighten us out. But yeah, any which way, yeah, Jerusalem, it was just some rundown place, and then it was overtaken, and then now it's become the holy city.
Interesting.
And that's the way we are to be. Be ye holy, for I am holy.
Brother Wayne popped in here. Probably need to go check the King of Salem, go back to Genesis.
All right.
Yeah.
Interesting.
With Jerusalem?
I think so. Yeah. He just now sent that.
See, I feel like that's where before I talk and then I'm the one blowing a bunch of malarkey or whatever you said it was, I feel like I want to cover a thing or two. But I've always been honest. Like I'm definitely much more equipped to handle the New Testament than I am some of the older stuff.
Yeah.
Although I'm not against it. I'm being purposeful about learning more. It's not like I'm inept with it. It's just when you get into detailed answers, I always try to make sure I confirm and make sure I'm right.
I actually was thinking that this is what he was referring to, but he's talking about Melchizedek being referred to the king of Salem.
Yeah, king of Salem. Yeah, absolutely.
No mother, no father, no beginning, no end. Something like that.
But I have been wrong before.
That was Abraham. That was Abraham who paid tithes to Melchizedek. But is he saying that Melchizedek had something to do with Jerusalem way back in Abraham's day, before David? Is that what he's saying?
I don't know. He said just to go look into it.
Okay,
I'll check it out.
I'll check it out.
I think it's going to relate to it.
Yeah. I got some homework today.
Yeah,
Mr.
I do.
Kid, thank you.
I do too.
I've got homework too. I guess I never really, I haven't, I'm sure I've read it and looked into it.
Yeah.
But the origins of Jerusalem and how they came about.
It would be interesting though, because I mean, think about like the New Jerusalem too.
Yeah.
Significance of Jerusalem and when the
new bodies.
Yeah, the new heaven, new earth, the Mount of Olives, all the prophetic significance in those.
Yeah. And just like, you know, the New Jerusalem coming down, we're going to have our new bodies as well.
Salem is Jerusalem. So that's what I just want to figure out, like, where it actually comes from.
Okay.
Like, the geographic.
What did you talk about Salem?
Well, I mean, Salem had to exist and it couldn't be. I feel like, now, this is where I want to be careful, and I could eat my words.
Are you about to spill some malarkey out here?
I could, but I don't know if I feel like Salem was Jerusalem. If I'm not mistaken, and I am mistaken a lot. My wife tells me that, but I have some other confirmation from this too. But I don't think Salem was a desolate place necessarily, because Melchizedek was a king of something.
Yeah, I'm just talking about when David took it over is what I was talking about.
That's what I would want to look into more. That's what I want to look into more.
Like you were saying that you were talking about when David worked on it and built it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the origins of it is,
because I feel like the one who made it Jerusalem spectacular probably was more Solomon than David. But because Solomon was just building things that were unreal.
I would like to look back at like what it was before the time of David.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what he's talking about. We're going to have to go check it out in Genesis. Yeah. What did he say? Genesis, that would be, I don't even know what chapter it would be. In Abraham, Melchizedek. I got to check it out.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's go on to some Bible questions that we had left over from Monday. Explain Romans 11:29. Explain Romans 11:29. So we'll move over to 11:29. And we'll get there. For the gifts and callings of God are irrevocable. So now a lot of people use that as just along the phrase or the idea of no matter what you do, God's calling is always going to be your life. Okay. I feel like I'm probably going, for me, trample on somebody's golden calf here for a minute, but let me fix the context of this. This context is not talking about personal callings and giftings. This is actually talking about Israel. If you look at the context of this whole chapter, 9 through 11 is talking about Israel and its election. Now, be careful with the word election. I'm not talking double predestination. I'm not pulling out Calvinism or anything right now. I'm just saying it's talking about the election of Israel. Israel was chosen as a nation. God's not going to be done with Israel. Even through 9 through 11, it talks about how the day of the Gentile church come to a fullness, and then Israel's going to experience salvation. Revival is still coming to Israel. Why? Because it's God's chosen people. Now, it doesn't mean they're doing everything right, all right? But this, his gifts and callings without repentance are irrevocable. He says that as regards to the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But as regards election, they are beloved for the sake of their forefathers. Talking about the Jews. For the gifts and callings of God are revocable. For just as you were at one time disobedient to God, but now have received mercy because of their disobedience.
Yeah.
So they too have been disobedient in order that they have been shown mercy to you. They also now receive mercy. He's saying, I'm not done with Israel.
Here's how I explain it. The gifts and callings are not without repentance. So God has the flow, and it's counted like a waterfall, and it just flows. It never stops flowing. And you're either walking in that flow or you're walking outside of that flow. And when you're following God and you're seeking the Lord and you're doing the things for the Lord, you'll be walking in that flow. But when your focus is somewhere else, you won't be walking in that flow. The flow never stops flowing. God never, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's always the same. And his mercy is new every morning, you know, but you have to walk in it. It's not something you attain. It's not something you strive for or work to. You're either walking in it or you're walking outside of it.
Yeah.
And that's you know, if you know, that's the without repentance.
But the 29 here is just explicitly talking about Romans. I mean, about the Jews and how that one time the Gentiles were in disobedience, but then the Jews became disobedient so that God would show them mercy. But now he's saying, I'm still showing Israel mercy, even in their disobedience.
Yeah.
I'm still going to show. But that does not mean that Israel is going to be saved without repentance and without confessing Christ and following Christ and becoming. That just means he's not given up on Israel.
Yeah.
Like, Israel's still going to experience revival because Israel is still God's chosen people.
Yeah.
Even today, God's chosen people are still Israel. Like, we're grafted into what? Israel. Yeah. Now, does that mean that we're Jews? No. That means that we are grafted into the commonwealth of Israel. Basically, we're grafted into his chosen people, his chosen nation. But Israel itself will still experience revival. We can see that in Romans here. We can see that in Revelation with the 144,000 Jewish evangelists, 12,000 from each tribe that's going to be raised up, and I believe they will go preach the gospel to the Jewish people. I believe the Gentile church will be taken out one day. We can see all this unraveling. Now, how does this apply to our personal callings and giftings? Does that mean that no matter what we do, giftings and callings are never taken away? Well, all right. I believe that the giftings and callings of our life are there for us. But I believe we can disqualify ourselves from operating them.
Yeah. You're either walking in the flow or you're walking in the world.
Like, if I had I don't think it's like you stump your toe when you let a dirty word slip out of your mouth, now you're disqualified from ministry for the rest of your life, or you have a bad season. I'm talking like there's an open, unrepented issue where you're not repented of, or it's a common, it's not like a season you fall into. It's a lifestyle you've lived in. You can disqualify yourself. And doesn't mean you were never called or you're still not gifted. It just means that you may be disqualified from walking in that. Like, now, last time we talked about this, we got a ton of pushback. And yeah, I think there is a balance in it.
Yeah, God can restore.
God can restore, but I'm still going to stick on if somebody hurts or wounds children.
Yep.
And they were called, like they had a calling of God on their life to children's ministry, but then the enemy got a hold of their life and they hurt children or something like that. Yeah. Even after restoration to right relationship with God for repentance of the sin, they should never work in children's ministry.
Yeah, because God's word will not return to him void, and we reap what we sow, you know. And when you sow into those things like what you're talking about there, you will reap not ever doing that again.
Yeah.
Privilege and the...
Yeah.
That's entrusting with that calling.
Yeah,
exactly.
And if Greg has a great call in his life to do with numbers and business, and he was in charge of a ministry's money bank like Judas was,
stole all the
money. He's stealing it all.
Yeah,
he could repent and come into right standing with God, but I don't think we should ever put him back in charge of the money bank. That's what I always say. Is like, I never want to say people can't come back to that right standing with God, like repentance and boom, good, go. But I do think there is things that our choices have maybe disqualified from us from doing.
And that goes back to, you know, like I said, God's word will not return to him void. So all the things, you know, he's got it all covered. You know, what we'll reap what we sow. You know, so all these things that we do. And also, you know, you may not be restored back to that position, but you know, he restores you.
Yes.
But you can I mean, you can share your testimony with people.
Yeah, absolutely.
And spread the gospel. Yeah.
And you can help people. I mean, especially people who maybe
have
fallen in the
message.
Same trap you fall into, whether that's thievery or whatever it looks like, you may be able to help get people out of that. So God can still use you in major ways. Yep. But I would never say, like, you know, if Greg did that, I'm just using you hypothetically.
Yeah.
Odds are you're still going to be good with numbers afterwards. Like your person, how God's knitted you and created you, you probably still have those giftings.
Yeah.
But some of your choices may have disqualified you from operating those.
Yeah,
you'll
reap what you sowed.
Yeah.
But maybe the Lord could redeem it in other ways, like in your personal life.
Absolutely. Like, I think so.
Yeah, I think he will. And like you said, it'll be a testimony for you to tell, hey, I was doing this and Satan's coming in my heart and he lied to me and I was deceived and I did these things.
Yeah.
Or the Lord could
open up a door and give it a second opportunity, maybe not at a church, but maybe with something else. And somebody's willing to take a chance, you know.
But I do feel like here, though, 29 explicitly in this part is talking about Israel.
Yeah,
I feel like that's the context of this verse. Now, how that applies in gifting calls in our own life, we can unpack. There's greater unpacking in there, but the verse was the question was specifically asked about this, and that's what I would say is that it's specifically talking about Israel at this point. Is Galatians 4:12 through 16 where we get the idea that Paul's thorn in the flesh was his eyesight? So Galatians 4:12 through 16. Galatians 4:12 through 16.
Do you all think it was?
I don't.
I don't either.
I used to, but I used to. I still do think, though, that Paul had bad eyesight, but I don't think that was what he considered his thorn in his flesh. Yeah. Brothers, I entreat you, become as I am, for I also have become as you are. You did me no wrong. You know it was because of a bodily ailment that I preached the gospel to you at first. And though my condition was a trial to you, you did not scorn or despise me, but received me as an angel of God. Now, what he's saying there is a messenger. He's not calling himself an angel. He's calling himself a messenger as Christ Jesus. What then has become of your blessedness? For I testify to you that if possible, you would have gouged out your eyes and given them to me. Have I then become your enemy by telling you the truth? Now,
I think. Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was just gonna say, and you can go ahead if you want.
Was just talking about whenever he was a Pharisee and the Jews would follow him, like whatever he said to do, the Jews would just do it. You know, like they thought so much of him whenever he was Saul. Is that right? And
I think it could have something, but I think at first when he preached at Galatia, if I'm not mistaken, I think there was an ailment that drove him there.
Oh, okay.
And now me, I'm not for sure I'm sold it was his eyesight here. I'm not for sure. I think he may have had some other ailment because I think this gouge out your eyes and give them to me. Some people have said that he was dealing with his eyesight so bad and people were like, I'll just give you my eyes. I feel like it was more of a figure of speech, like that they so loved me, they would have done anything. They'd even gouge out their eyes and give them to me.
Yeah.
And he says, what's happened to you? So I feel like there was an ailment that drove him to need to rest or to heal for a season. And he ended up here. And because he was here, he's not going to stop preaching the gospel. So he's like, the ailment drove me here to you guys. But you all treated me so well. You didn't see it as a burden to take care of me. You didn't see it as this. You saw it as an honor. And I appreciate that. But he's like, but then what's kept you, what's drove you? And of course we're going to know the Judaizers, they're driving them back, they've left the gospel, they're adding to the gospel, it's Jesus plus this or Jesus plus circumcision, Jesus plus something. But I think here what Paul's saying for me, from what I'm interpreting, is that there was a sickness or an ailment that drove him to their care. While in his care, he preached the gospel. They took great care. They loved him enough to gouge out their own eyes and give it to him. But then the rebuke comes of what's happened to you.
Yeah.
Where is what's that passion, that desire, that love for the gospel? What's happened? And that's where I would see this.
Yeah. You know, and as far as the thorn in his flesh, I think it's just the sinful nature of man. That is the thorn in the flesh. You know, he talks about, you know, how he knows he wants to do good and he doesn't. And, you know, and he's not permitting himself, you know, he's not giving himself a leeway to do it. He's just being honest of, man, I don't want to be doing this thing. And here I find myself doing it. Oh, woe is me, you know, as this sinful man that I am, or wicked, wretched man that I am, he says, you know. And that's the thorn in his flesh. And we all have it. It says, was it Timothy? He says he doesn't sin as a liar, you know, and the truth is not in him. You know, the things we battle with, you know, that's, you know, everybody's got their own deal, whatever that is. You know, we have our own battles. We have our own things that we fight. And just the same as Paul, you know, ours all look different, but it's still the same principle. It's the things that separates us from God, the things that keeps us humble, the things that keeps us crying out to the Lord for help and for guidance and for strength. And it just keeps us, it just keeps us in check. You know, it keeps us, lets us know that he is God and not us. You know, that we can't do this thing without him, that we need him. It's a remembering, you know, to remind us who God is and how much we need him.
But this version, my phone is all messed up. I'm probably going to have to get a new one. Got thrown in the bathtub by Ezra. But my physical Bible I was reading, and it says in this version, let's see here, physical condition. So do you think that what he's talking about in Galatians is his eyesight, the physical condition?
Here, I think it could be, but I personally don't.
Oh.
I think it was actually a sickness. I think, because I think his eyesight was something he always dealt with.
Gotcha.
Now, let me just say this, and I want to be fair. The way we get the eyesight is Galatians 6:11. And that is, see the big letters that I write unto you with.
Yeah.
That could be interpreted two ways. It could mean he had bad eyesight and he had to write big to see it. But it also could mean that he wrote in a different style than the normal. Normal writing was a cursive style back then. It was very italicized and, you know, small, cursive. But then when the public notices happened where they wanted to emphasize something or everybody be able to read it, they would write it big. Some people say that Paul's writing this 6:11s, meaning that Paul's just basically writing a different writing style with his own hand. Like, instead of the normal ghostwriter that's writing for him, he's writing this, and he's writing it big enough for everybody to see, plain enough to everybody see. It's not everybody can read cursive. So he's basically saying, like, hey, instead of writing to you in cursive, I'm going to write you in very plain, big letters so everybody can see what I'm writing to you. That is one way. So Paul may not even have bad eyesight.
Hmm.
That is a common thing. Like, there's two different people. So there's one group that thinks he did have bad eyesight because that, and there's a group just thinks that he didn't. He was just writing in big letters at that time for everybody to read.
And what if he just wrote a big letter?
He could have just wrote a big letter too. That's really not a interpretation of it for most people.
I'm just simple. You know, what if he just wrote a big letter? You know,
but it is in there. I mean, I could agree with you, but then we'd both be wrong.
Yeah.
But I favor that Galatians 4 had nothing to do with his eyesight, and that it was a sickness that he needed to rest and heal from. Maybe he caught a really bad flu. Maybe it was, maybe he just got beat, and maybe he's recovering from his beating or the stoning. Like, there's really no, I don't know if we'll ever know what that physical ailment was, but I believe.
I was just making sure.
Well, how far from this is he shaking a snake off his hand?
Well, the snake's coming a little bit later.
Oh, so
Galatians kind of early.
He ain't got the snake.
Yeah, Galatians
yet.
An earlier book, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm just thinking maybe he's surviving a shipwreck.
Yeah.
You know, kind of, you know, he's went through so much. You know what I'm saying?
I did have a question about snakes. Whenever in the Great Commission, when it says they will
pick up serpents.
Yeah, what do you think that's talking about?
I think it was almost like a, all right, so I think you have to see the culture. What was snake so commonly related to? evil, but also paganism.
Yeah.
I think basically what Jesus is saying there is you will be able to take on the paganism of the day and it will not hurt you.
Yeah.
Really? Like you think it was more metaphor?
Yeah, don't pick up a snake.
Yeah, but I mean, Paul don't did get bit snake. By a snake. So some people say it was like a prophetic indicator that they're going to get bit. I feel like it's more like along the lines of you're going to take on the paganism of the day. You're going to be able to take on the temple. Like Delphi had snakes over their head. Almost every pagan temple had snakes related to it. Mm. So I feel like instead of going to a snake handling church, all right, or something like that, I don't feel like that's wisdom.
Is that literally what they build their theology on?
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah. Most of them do. That it's great faith. And then
it says you should not tempt the Lord.
Sometimes I think about that when I'm riding a roller coaster.
I know that I don't have any inkling in me to go to a snake handling church. So I knew that was off the table with that verse, I was wondering why it was included.
But like, I feel like it's more of a spiritual thing for paganism. Yeah. And because how much did they face? Like, think of all the paganism that Paul faced. Think about the Median from the Temple of Delphi that we just talked about.
I wondered, too, though, like, if you're spreading the gospel to the ends of the earth, there might be some unreached people that, like, there's going to be some...
Snakes in the jungle.
But I thought about that.
Now, to be fair, I do think it's... I think it's talking a lot about paganism, but I do think it relates to the poisons of this world won't hit you either. Like, because a snake was so associated with a poison.
Yeah.
And I think that it is like the poison of this world, the things that would hurt you. Don't be afraid to go to those jungles. Don't be afraid to go in there.
Do you think it's dominion, too? Like, we can take back, dominion over... was it you who said something about you were, like, commanded of something not to bite you?
Get out of my room. All right. I don't know if I commanded not to bite me.
No, I started speaking to a... Because I'm allergic to bees. I swell up really bad in the... bee sting anyways, and I started speaking one time. I started praying, and I'm telling you, a wasp fell from, like, it was swarming and it just fell right into my sink. I'm not kidding.
I think all things are possible. Like,
it fell right.
John G. Lake took plague, the cells of the plague, under a microscope, put them on his hand, and they died. So, like, I mean if you have the faith to stare down a line and command it to go to sleep, like, I need your faith. I want your faith. All right. But I mean, like, the Lord does command animals. Like, Daniel slept in the lion's den all night and just hung out with them. They played patty cake. Like, I don't want to undermine that, because I do think we have dominion and authority. But I think the serpents is what the evilness of the world's not going to be able to get you. And the poisons of this world, don't be afraid to go anywhere. Like, when we was in Puerto Rico with that team, like, there was a tarantula basically in the bedroom. Like, don't be afraid. Like, if the Lord is with you, if the Lord's called you, don't tempt it. No, we stepped on it 5 times. We killed it.
I can't imagine how that thing just, like, popped.
Yeah. Like, all I know is that Kaylee and Dinah ran into my bedroom and said, "Pastor Aaron, there's a spider." I thought there was, like, a little spider come in there, and I'm like, "Well, that thing's bigger than me." Josh Noon come in there, and I said, "Well, after it carried us a few steps, we killed it finally." And so, but it's I do think there is this hint, like, for a tarantula, we should have been more scared.
This is why I don't ever want to leave Kentucky. And, you know what I'm saying?
But
I mean, I'm used to what we got here. I'm good.
But there was
I don't
a
need
piece.
To go anywhere, like, ever.
In Africa, I watched a king cobra attack a sheep that a boy was walking.
Yeah, I don't. Like, part of that.
But I can tell you, like, I hate snakes. Like, if I saw a rat snake here, I'm running the other way. But there, it was different. Like, I wasn't utterly terrified.
Yeah.
And they had snakes over there that could swallow me whole. I think that's what it's telling me. Like, don't be fearful of the things the world has. And so that's what I would say. But we're out of time. We got 30 seconds.
I'm not going to tempt the Lord. I'm just going to stay in Kentucky.
Yeah. I seriously think about that sometimes. Whenever I ride a roller coaster with my kids, like, I'll do it. I'll do it anytime. I'll ride anything roller coaster wise, and I'll be like, Lord.
I think about the same exact verse. I'm not kidding. I have since I was younger. I thought about it.
Lord, keep me safe. Get me off this ride. But then I'm thinking, like, do not tempt the Lord your God. I'm like,
oh. Oh, my goodness.
All right. Well, we're out of time. We love you guys. Blessings upon blessings. We'll be back tomorrow. Lord willing, the creek don't rise. The sun still shines. And Jesus has not returned. We'll be back tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central Time, here on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network.